You've been listening to our podcast, Getting Educated, Regulating Your Emotional Reactions, and it's been really helpful. Yet you know you could do better, be better, and you're wanting and needing more support. That's where our coaching service is a game changer. We're here for you when you need us the most, ensuring you have all the tools and resources at your fingertips, guiding and supporting you to be more effective. Our free rapid relief call helps you gain a broader perspective, commit to your best next steps, and determine what coaching support is right for you. Visit rapidreliefcall.com to book your call today. Welcome to the Journey Beyond Divorce podcast, where we invite you into a journey of healing and personal transformation that will radically change your divorce experience, heal your heart while refining your character, and set you up to be effective and feel empowered as you navigate the practical and emotional challenges of divorce. I'm your host, Karen McMahon, founder of Journey Beyond Divorce. My divorce brought me to my knees, and it also transformed me and set me on this path to help you. Biggest raves about the system?
Well, house sharing resolves three major pain points. There's the financial. Two women pooling their rents, they can even get bigger and better places, right? Sharing the cost of groceries and transportation and all that. And the medium income is about $54,000. You can save up to $19,000 a year living with another single mother.
That is huge.
Huge, yeah. And the other pain points are the time and task overload. Women have reported up to 56 hours of free time a month while sharing with another single mother.
That is almost more huge than the financial.
I know. Yeah, true.
So you get to do a little self-care, have a life, go to a yoga class.
Yes.
Like be able to like
on a date. Yeah.
Stepping into the realm of high conflict divorce can be daunting after years in a dysfunctional marriage that's left you feeling diminished and uncertain. In our High Conflict Divorce Demystified series, we acknowledge the emotional roller coaster you're on, facing self-doubt and fear, especially regarding your children and finances. We're here to provide empathy, education, and guidance as you navigate the maze of legal intricacies and emotional challenges ahead. So let's dive in. Welcome back to another episode of High Conflict Divorce Demystified. We're talking about doubling up the new frontier in post-divorce living today with Carmel Boss. I'm very excited about today's conversation. Let me just lay the groundwork a little bit. So in the wake of a divorce, single parents often grapple with a lot of different fears and challenges, and finding affordable housing often stands out as one of the most daunting of them all. The financial burden, of course, can be overwhelming with the cost of housing, the emotional toll of managing a household alone while trying to provide stability for the children, hold down a full-time job, adds additional layers of stress. And in this scenario, the concept of partnering with another single mom has emerged as a really creative and practical solution. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. By sharing a home, single parents can not only split costs and chores, but also provide mutual emotional support, companionship, creating a supportive environment for themselves and the entire family. And yet, if you give it a moment's thought, there could be a lot of complexities about who you're partnering up with. And so I really am curious to see how that's handled. And so let me tell you a little bit about my guest, Carmel Boss. She's the founder of Co-abode, C-O-A-B-O-D-E, co-abode. And she found that when she was newly divorced with two kids and decided to post a notice at her kid's school that read, "Single mom seeks same to pool resources and share a house with a garden." That was the very beginning. The enormous number of responses tipped her off to the fact that there were legions of single moms like her, who were interested in living with other moms in order to share responsibilities and build a nurturing community for their kids. So she's been on all types of media outlets and sharing this, and this has been going on for almost two decades now. So if you've been wondering how to handle your post-divorce housing situation, grab a pen and let's dive in. Welcome. And I'm so excited to chat with you, Karma.
Thank you. Yeah, great to be here. Thank you.
Yeah. So why don't you give us a little bit of the backstory, how this got started with you?
Sure. So when I divorced out of a 17-year marriage, I actually only had one child. Okay. But I'm suddenly living on my own, raising my son on my own, and he was only seven at the time. And I actually started having anxiety around loneliness, like, where's my village? Where's my tribe? And that anxiety turned into a full-blown panic attack one night. Mm-hmm. I never had one before. It was awful. I thought I was dying. And when I got through that, that's when I knew I needed to find a solution. And so I took it into basically my morning meditation and just basically said, you know, help. And in a prolonged meditation, I just got this very, very clear, intuitive message, go find another single mother to house share with. And that was what prompted it. And I thought, wow, what a great idea. And actually in that meditation, or in that vision, I saw not only that it would be resolving my issue of wanting to share the connection, connection with another human being, the raising of our children, but I saw that I would be helping another single mother who would maybe never have the opportunity to live in a house with a yard. I would be getting somebody that would just take all the chores and just cut them in half. You do the homework while I do the laundry, you do the transportation while I do, you know. And so there were all these others, and I was shown that. I was shown like, wow, this is what this could mean. So at the time, and then I also saw a bigger picture, which made no sense to me whatsoever. You know, at the time, it was like, it doesn't make any sense. But anyway, so as you said, I started looking, interviewing. I interviewed a total of 18 single moms. I found one with the same priorities and interests that I had. But these other 17 all wanted to do the same thing. And so I actually went down my list and I thought, this one's got a 3-year-old, this one's got a 4-year-old. I'm just going to call them back and connect them to each other. And it was doing that act that they were so grateful and thankful. That's when the light bulb went on. There needs to be a resource for this, you know? So I had another business. So I was fine financially. And I thought, I'm going to put a little of my money into this. I'm just going to help some moms in Los Angeles, because that's where I'm from, or it's where I'm living. And it just took off. It just took off. I got a lot of press, a lot of national press. And I was so surprised. And I'm like, again, I thought this was just a little passion project of mine, but it took off, and hundreds of thousands of single moms and millions of traffic to the site for all the other resources. Because besides the sharing, house sharing, we also have a program for, it's called Circle of Friends, where single moms become a facilitator in their immediate neighborhood. And they create babysitting co-ops, carpooling, just emotional connections. And again, it was actually a request from some of the single moms saying, hey, I'm okay where I'm living, but I would love to meet some other single moms in my neighborhood. And that sort of, so I added that on, and that just took off. And wow. So this is just really a needed, and I'm just the vehicle for this to show up and to, you know, go nationwide, and actually in Canada too. Yeah.
So you're coast to coast in the United States and in Canada.
Yeah. And, you know, the Canadian thing, I wasn't, you know, trying to give myself more work to do. It's just the Canadian single mother started using U.S. border zip code to try to access the platform. And I thought, I just told my developers, let's just add Canada. I'm not doing any press or nothing there. No, I've done no press there whatsoever. And it's just grown organically, you know?
That's amazing. That so powerfully speaks to a need when something literally grows on its own like that. And the fact, I love the fact that this was an intuitive hit, that you were sitting quietly and that you were just like tuning in. And it was just that like divine download.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It really was.
So can you share a little bit about your experience? So you found this mom. I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is human beings can be difficult. Everyone brings baggage to the table. You're just coming out of a divorce. So like all the complexities seem really important to pay attention to. So you're saying that you went through 17, 18, and this was your person. Share with us a little bit what unfolded after that.
You mean my divorce?
Just the living experience. So you came up with this idea. Was it just like a cakewalk from the beginning?
Oh, no. I mean, I just put one foot in front of the other. I mean, 2 years into it, I had to write down all the things I had done. And when I looked at that list, I thought, thank God somebody didn't show me this in the beginning, because I would have said, hell no, you know? But it had its own momentum, you know? It's like, there was stress and challenges and all kinds of typical things when you're trying to start a service or a business. But when you know you're doing something really good and you're helping a lot of people, then those are overshadowed with the goodness, you know?
I guess one of the things I'm wondering is, how did your experience, since you were the beta test, how did your experience inform how you created whatever guidelines and rules and processes within the company?
Yeah. So, well, within the company, but my personal experience with the single mother that I chose. Yeah. She was from Australia and she had two boys. And she was going through a very, very tough time with her mate. And we were both we had a lot of similarities. We liked the same music. We were both painters. You know, there was things about each other that was like instant clicks. And that's an important, you know, and also you don't dive into something like this. You don't just meet somebody and just move in. You know, you got to take time, because it's not just your relationship with the other single mother. It's the relationship with the children. It's the relationship with the other mother and her relationship with your children. So there's a number of dynamics, a number of relationships that you have to consider. And so you have to, we have a whole list of things to do on the website that helps you get to where, you know, finding the most compatible. But we're coming out really, I'm really excited about this, with some AI and some really super duper algorithms to help moms find the perfect match. Nice. And you don't want to find the roommate from hell. And you need to, you know, avoid that. When I first started this, I really thought of it as a transitional housing opportunity, 3 months, 6 months. You just jumped coming out of a divorce. You need, you know, to get your feet back on the ground, 3 months, 6 months, maybe a year. But when a lot of single moms avoid, man, this, when they find the right match, you know, it's like, oh, I'm doing this to my kids. They're 18. And there's a lot of scenarios. I mean, I could tell you a number of scenarios where it was not a good match, you know, where I had one where she had two girls, a 7 and 9 year old, and then the other one had a 12-year-old boy. And the 9-year-old girl fell in love with the 12-year-old boy, and it became a serious problem. So they only ended up living together for a year, but they're still good friends today. Today, that was in the first 4 or 5 years. So a mom, in the very beginning, a mom came on, she had seven children.
Oh my goodness.
Seven. And I thought, no one's going to want to take that on. That's like way too much, right? But within 2 weeks, she found another mom in her neighborhood who had five children. So they got together. They created a co-abode circle friends group, and it was about 30 single moms. But over that year, they got along so well that my last communications with them was that they were now looking for a house big enough for the 12 of them, 12 kids and whatever. So
I just want to slow this down a little bit, because I think this piece of get to know them is important. Now, I know you've been doing this for a couple of decades. You have probably hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of examples. But what is that range of time frame and what occurs within that time frame when the decision is made? So do people make it in weeks? Do they make it in months? Can you just share with our listeners a little bit more detail about that? You've heard the saying, April showers bring May flowers. If co-parenting has been difficult this year due to your ex's alcohol abuse, you need SoberLink. How it works is simple. Your co-parent will test at scheduled times. Built-in facial recognition will confirm their identity. Tampa sensors will flag any attempts to cheat. And results will get sent instantly to your phone, so you know that your kids are with a sober parent. Lay the groundwork for brighter days ahead. Visit soberlink.com/JBD to learn more and get $50 off your device.
So we recommend that when you find someone that seems compatible on the website, that you just the moms meet. Like you meet in a cafe and you get to know each other a little bit before you even bring the children in. Then you meet at a park, you know, with the kids later on. And you take your time. You get to become basically friends. And you can see over weeks for some people, sometimes months for other people, whether or not this person is a good fit. And some of them are instant. You know, we sometimes facilitate big groups. Like we had a single mom that was a student at the America University, and she got there and realized, oh my God, I can't afford the rent here. And so she asked if we would send out an email to all the single mothers in her immediate neighborhood. And she got, the university gave her permission to hold this event on their grounds. And about 30 single moms showed up, and she found the perfect single match. And they've been living together for 3 years. So that was instant, you know, like she got to interview and talk to a number of single moms at that event. And so, yeah, some people take 6 months or more to get to really know some, and then some of them get together and they're living together for a year and they go, you know what, this is so good. Let's buy a house together. Let's buy duplexes together. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So you actually have in your community, single moms who are now homeowners with other single moms.
Yep. And there was this one, these two single moms, they bought a duplex. And it was just the perfect, perfect scenario because they were side to side, bedrooms were upstairs, and they tore part of the wall down. They put a big arch between the downstairs. So they had their bedrooms, which were their private area. And then they shared the yard and they shared meals. And it was just like they ended up just this big downstairs. One bedroom, living room became a playroom, and the other one was, you know, living. And it was such a, like, that's a real ideal situation because you've got your own bedrooms, you've got your own.
You have your own privacy, but you have shared common area. And I love the idea of sharing shopping and cooking and homework and running kids. I mean,
oh my God.
I don't know how the, with the 5 and 7, that's like a lot of kids to run around, even for two parents. But
oh my God, I know. I mean, I was shocked when she found that other mom with 5 kids. I was like, whoa, okay.
it's just, as soon as I heard the concept, I thought, that is just so brilliant, just so brilliant. And so it's been going on for about 20 years. Can you walk us through, someone find your site, walk us through what that journey looks like?
Sure. So basically, I just took the online dating technology is what I did and applied it to this social need. And so a mom registers and fills out a full-on profile, all her basic information, and there's about 5 essay questions, like her child-rearing philosophy, her diet, her, you know, work, et cetera. And then once she's completed that profile, she can then put in her zip code into a search results, and then she will get all the moms that are under that zip code, all those search results for all those profiles. And she clicks on a profile, she reads, gets to read about them, and she can put them in favorites, and she can email, there's a private email system within it. So you can just immediately email them. And that's basically, it's pretty simple.
How long does somebody stay involved in your community?
Well, the sticky part of the site too is the community, the circle of friends community, where single moms become a facilitator. And so new women are constantly, single moms are coming on and connecting up with the groups in their neighborhood that are already established, right? So they keep coming back. for those reasons. Also, if, you know, like my situation, I only lived with my single mother, the first one, for only a year because she got divorced, got full custody of her kids, and moved back to Australia. And so then, you know, I went searching for somebody else, you know. So it depends on the circumstances, you know.
Did you find a second person?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I did. And even though the two moms and I were really, really connected, my son was only 10 and her daughter was 16. So there wasn't the kid thing there, you know, like, but that didn't matter. It worked out, you know, pretty good for a couple of years. Yeah.
What would you say if you were to share with our audience, for you personally, and then for other people, what would you say are the top three or five, like, biggest raves about the system?
Well, house sharing resolves, which you said in your intro, resolves three major pain points. There's the financial, you know, two women pooling their rents, they can even get bigger and better places, right? Sharing the cost of groceries and transportation and all that. And if the medium income is about $54,000, you can save up to $19,000 a year living with another single mother.
That is huge.
Huge, yeah. And then the other pain points are, again, the time and task overload. Women have reported up to 56 hours of free time a month while sharing with another single mother.
That is almost more huge than the financial
stuff. I know. Yeah, I mean, true.
So you get to do a little self-care, have a life, go to a yoga class.
Yes.
Like, be able to, like,
on a date, yeah.
I mean, my kids were really, I think, in first and second grade when I finally divorced, and I had all of these years ahead of me. And
yeah.
I was stretched financially. I was even more stretched time-wise. I was even more stretched with energy. I mean, it's really a huge undertaking. And and it's like getting a partner without getting involved, you know, with another intimate partner.
Quite often when somebody finds the site and gets the idea that this is something doable, they'll go, oh my God, I can do this with my friend Pam, you know, or I can do this with my colleague at work. We're both single moms struggling. Why not, you know? And they haven't even used the site. They just, you know, go off and do it.
And I wonder how many, I would say I've had at least two or three, like, awesome girlfriends when we're like, we should live together. Women living together is so efficient and filled with love and support and community.
Yes.
And we would say, well, we'll keep a man in the closet if we need a little bit more. So the concept has probably been spoken about in that way. Like, you know, girlfriends who are like, oh my God, it'd be great to, like, live together.
I know. And it's such a weird thing to, because it's really a duh.
Yeah, it
kind
is.
Of thing. Like, you know?
Like, who knows? Why didn't anyone think about this before? And
yeah, I mean, it doesn't, and I think that because we've lost, especially here in America, we've kind of lost our connection to our extended families and we're living alone. Other countries really, you know, everybody has their villages and their families stick together and stay together. And
here you can have, I mean, there was one point where my son lived in Washington State. My daughter was in, you know, in another part of the country, and I was down in Florida. Like, we couldn't have been further away. And that's so typical of today's. Yeah.
I think honestly, it's the whole college thing of going off to college somewhere, and then you meet your mate, your future mate, and then you're stuck there, you know, or not, you know, and it kind of breaks up the family. You know, I always wonder about who
the wisdom of that
created these systems.
Exactly.
So
back to the what did you call it, circle of friends. Those all run by volunteers?
They're just a single mom who signs up and decides that she wants to create a group in her, she puts in, you know, what it is for. Maybe she wants to create, you know, a babysitting co-op, or maybe she just needs some connection to other single mothers, you know, park dates or whatever. Or maybe, you know, pooling, carpooling, school, if they live in the same neighborhood. There's a lot of reasons for creating these groups. But quite often, it's just friendship and connection.
Yeah.
And I really believe that, you know, I think everybody wants to house share. They just don't know it yet.
Well, you know, I've been doing this for 14 years, and oftentimes that community connection is so lacking. Like post-divorce, it's like, okay, my married friends either chose the other partner or we don't have as much in common anymore, and so we don't see each other. And it's easy to make friends when your kids are in grade school and you become friends with their friends'
yes,
parents, the ones that you like. And certainly if you have a house of worship, that's a good way. But as we get older, it's the conversation I hear so often, which is, I'm moving to a new place or I'm single now. How do I find my people?
Yeah.
And I often recommend Meetup because it has that.
Meetup is that perfect
community.
For that. Yeah.
And yet you have communities all around the country.
Yeah. And these are all single mothers with children. Yeah.
Yeah.
Connection. I mean, you know, I think connection to other human beings is as important as the roof over your head and food you eat. Those three things are really, really that important.
You know, Carmel, I was reading once an article about some of the old, there's a neighborhood in Europe where they have the oldest people in the world living. And the article was saying, what do you think the secret sauce is? Walk every day? Do they not smoke cigarettes? Do they eat really healthy? And you know what it was? It wasn't any of those. It was community. Like these people who were like literally up to, I think, 112 years old or something, like over 100 year old people. And it's because they had connection and community on a regular basis.
Yeah, I believe it. It's so important.
So if someone's listening and housing isn't their issue, but they're like, oh my God, I want to find a circle of girlfriends. Can they use your site? Does it work that way? My audience is all coming out of high conflict divorce. So these are all, so what I'm asking you is if they don't need housing, is there still an opportunity?
So go and fill out a profile and just put friendship only. There's different ways, you know, I'm looking for a house. I need a house. I don't have, you know, whatever. Friendship only. And then
other choices? So besides I need a house and friendship only, can you tell us what else one?
It's just I have a house, need a house, friendship only. I think that's maybe one other thing I can't remember. But
Is there carpooling? Is that an option in and of itself?
Or... No, it's not right now. No, okay. No. But that, again, if you tapped into the groups in your neighborhood, you can ask,
Yeah. So walk us through how it works. What does it cost? How long are you, like, how does
it doesn't
that
cost work? Anything. It doesn't cost anything other than some time, a little time. Probably takes you 10 or 15 minutes to fill out the profile. Do it right. Always fill it out because, you know, you want to say who you are. And then just doing searches. I mean, if you set a profile there and then you just wait, you're less likely to find a match. You have to really be active, proactive, and searching and meeting other single mothers. There is no cost to it. That might change in the future.
You've been doing this for 20 years just out of the kindness and generosity of your heart.
Yeah.
I just want to celebrate you. I mean, first of all, brilliant concept, beautiful job. And then talk about like the cherry on top that you don't even, I mean, that's just astounding in today's day and age. And I just want to acknowledge you.
It's not just, you know, the money that you, that I get to get up in the morning and do this.
What an impact.
That is awesome.
That's priceless.
Yeah, you know, yeah, it is, because I've got this purpose and this mission, and you know, yeah, and now even wanting to take it further, and now I've got an actual team, people that are jumping on board, even that are helping, you know, to take it globally, because we've had requests from all over the world.
It's brilliant. It makes so much sense, and I could see where, like you're saying, America might be in more need of it because we don't have that kind of built-in multi-generational family that's always there to support you. But I would imagine that across the globe, this would be so.
There
well.
Are. I mean, Tokyo, university professor contacted me for there saying, telling me that, you know, showing me the stats on how many single moms there are in Japan. I'm like, wow, okay, we really need this service here, you know. And a part of some department from the Australian government wanted, can we franchise this? You know, can you franchise this? Can you bring it to Australia? So organizations in Africa wanting, we want to match up pregnant teenage girls. The opportunity is huge. And so that's what we're working on here and next year.
It's just amazing.
It's for me, it's just a gift that I've been given to do. And it's like, wow. Yeah,
it's a real blessing. Yeah.
Thank you.
What haven't I asked you that you would like to share with our listeners?
Well, like I said earlier, everybody really wants to share. So people say, oh no, I could never do that. You know, I like being alone. Alone time is different. You know, everybody needs their alone time. But I think that, you know, if you're afraid to try it, then just start with the friendships and see where it goes. You know, just find other single mothers to just hang out with. Mm-hmm. And you'll find that you do want to share.
And $19,000 a year and 56 hours every month is a really nice payoff for finding the right person.
All the benefits are worth it.
If you take that savings, both the emotional and the financial, and invest it in your future, you know, it's brilliant. It's so wonderful. The website is
Co-Abode. By the way, come together, and abode is a house. So it's coming together in a house. It's really what the word is, co-abode. And it's just co-abode.com.
Beautiful. Yeah. Thank you so much for what you do. Thank you for sharing.
For having me.
Just want to say to every one of you listening, even if you're in the middle of a divorce, if you don't know, if this is a concern of yours, and I think it's a concern of so many of ours, go check it out. And
There's a number of women that are in the middle of a divorce or thinking about getting a divorce, and they're looking for some options, you know, like some of them feel like they can't get out. They don't have a way to get out. And even women in abusive situations have gotten out by using our service.
Big. Totally. Absolutely. I would like to do what I can to promote this on my site too. I mean, this is just, it's just beautiful and incredible. So
thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. So folks, please go to coabode.com. It's in the show notes if you don't know how to spell it, and check it out and know that there is an incredible, creative, alternative option out there for you, both for housing and community. And Carmel, thank you so much for what you do.
Thank you for having me.
Beautiful. We'll be back again real soon with another episode of High Conflict Divorce Demystified. Until then, you take care.
You've been listening to our podcast, Getting Educated, Regulating Your Emotional Reactions, and it's been really helpful. Yet you know you could do better, be better, and you're wanting and needing more support. That's where our coaching service is a game changer. We're here for you when you need us the most, ensuring you have all the tools and resources at your fingertips, guiding and supporting you to be more effective. Our free rapid relief call helps you gain a broader perspective, commit to your best next steps, and determine what coaching support is right for you. Visit rapidreliefcall.com to book your call today.
Thanks for joining us on the Journey Beyond Divorce podcast. I hope you found guidance and encouragement to help you along your journey. If you like my podcast, please take a minute to subscribe and leave a review on iTunes. You can also visit us at jbddivorcesupport.com, where our team of coaches support both men and women through our one-on-one coaching, group programs, online courses, and free resources. Stay tuned for our next episode, and I'll talk to you soon.